We're going to look at a simple message. Just basically take what's yours. I don't know if you experience this, but when I go out to eat, I don't like it when they give me an order number. I don't like that I have to keep checking my receipt. Okay, here, your order number is 5,267. Oh, good night. So I have to keep looking at the receipt, and they keep calling out numbers. Now, if you go to one of those great places like, I don't know, Chick-fil-A, they call you by your name. And so it's great because they say, Heath. Well, now Chick-fil-A is even better. They bring it right to your table. Now, this is an endorsement. I don't get any free chicken if I talk about them, though I should. That's actually, if we could figure that out, that'd be great. But it's important to realize that there are some things that just have your name on it, and it makes you feel a whole lot better. I'm always afraid with those places where I have to keep track of my number that my food is just going to die on the counter, that they didn't call it out right, and now I don't want to eat those fries anymore. I want it to have my name on it. And in 2016, as I've been praying throughout the year and thinking about what we should be doing as a church, I believe very firmly that God has plans for our church with our name on them. If you don't believe that, you need to read the Bible more. You need to understand that God deals with us, yes, in a general way. God wants all people to be saved. He wants all people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But there are also specific things that He calls you and I to do because He's made us as individuals, as people that can be part of the plan. 2015 was a great year in the history of our church. In so many ways, our Awana ministry has been averaging over 100 kids, which that's great, but the other great thing is we're finding the workers to take care of those kids. Having 100 kids and 3 workers isn't anything to celebrate. So the fact that we have people that are investing there, I'm excited about. We had 10 teenagers in 2015 go on their first mission trip, and many more going this coming year, and already people looking forward to how they can be a part of that. We welcomed Jerry and Charmel home, and I stopped playing the guitar in worship. Now that is something to praise, if nothing else. I'm really thankful for what Jerry has done in our worship ministries, how Charmel has picked up our ministries to GAs with our young girls and invested in that time. That has been a blessing to our church. Trunk or Treat, you guys worked so well. We had over 800 people in 2 hours touched by our church during a Halloween outreach. That was awesome. We had 6 baptisms this year. I'd like to see more, but it's better than 0, and so I'll take it. Also, this year we had our second year of our men's groups. And what excites me, I've done men's groups in previous churches, and they all have the same history. They dwindle, and they go away. But in year 2, we saw not just growth of more guys coming, but I just love talking to these guys and listening and learning from them and praying with them. We're seeing growth there, and even in our women's ministry, now with a similar group going on there. So we're seeing God working and growing us and stretching us and challenging us. And we also had 15 people who went through our new members class. 13 of them joined our church this year. So we have things that are going on that people are looking and saying, this church seems to be a place that I can be and I can be invested. So you know what? I think we should just take 2016 off. I mean, 2015 was just so good. Let's just take a break and not do anymore. Now, obviously, that's not reality. You see, that is the issue for some churches, and even sometimes for us as Christians. We had such a good 2015, I'm going to pull back in 2016. And we have to realize that if we celebrate success, that's fine, but we can't live in them. When you start living in the successes of the past, you stay there. I met a guy who recently said he does his best to share Jesus with someone every day because he doesn't want to tell a story that's 6 months old about the last time he shared Jesus with somebody. He says, why would I want to live in yesterday's blessing? Man, that speaks to me. So we look and we say, what can I be doing so that I celebrate what God has done, but I'm not just living in it and I'm not failing to go forward. I'm realizing that I'm celebrating that God is working through me. God is working through us. Now, while we had many wonderful things happen in 2015, there's some areas that our church could be strengthened in 2016. One of those areas is we need more what I call second-tier leaders. Who's going to be that next man or that next woman up? We talk about in our Sunday school classes, who's your backup? Who's that person you're investing in? Because I can tell you right now, we're going to need more Sunday school classes in the upcoming year. And we don't just have those teachers magically appear. We have to start giving them opportunities. And not just in Sunday school teaching, but so many areas. We need to grow those leaders. We also need to be strengthened in our financial giving. I thank you so much for being a part of giving to the church. But like I heard a pastor one time say, the gospel is free, but ministry costs. And so when you give, you help us do what we are setting out to do. So thank you for giving, but I can still see that we can be strengthened in our overall giving and our free will giving during this entire year. I'm going to share some things with you later on this year of how I think our church can grow in that. Because when we say, God, you're all I want, we find ourselves being a lot freer with the things that we sometimes believe give us true value, or that we really sometimes secretly are actually wanting more. So I see those two areas, but the most important area, more than anything else, the one that keeps me up at night, the one that I pray on, the one that I have taken a specific challenge on myself in 2016 and will be challenging you as well, is I want to see more people come to Jesus Christ because of what we're doing here in 2016. I want to see more people baptized. I want to see more people follow in obedience to that who have already made the decision. I just want to see people not believe that their life is somehow separate or detached from their Creator. And the more that we share, the more people will realize that that is the truth. You know, last week I talked about living the example of Christ. And the more that we live that generous, compassionate, loving example of Jesus, that's what makes incredible churches. And churches that truly impact their community and improve on these three areas. So I believe that God does have specific plans for our church in 2016. But will we personally and will we congregationally pursue the plans of the Father in the example of the Son and the power of the Spirit? Well, we're going to take a look at Joshua 18 today because we're going to find that Israel was in a similar circumstance as we are today, January 3rd, 2016. God had worked incredible things for Israel. There was no doubt. And now they've received what God has given them. They've done their wandering. Now God has given them the promised land. And while he had worked great, incredible things, there was more to do. Let's take a look. Joshua 18, verses 1 through 3. It says, then the whole congregation of the people of Israel assembled at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there. That was basically their church. The land lay subdued before them. There remained among the people of Israel seven tribes whose inheritance had not yet been apportioned. So Joshua said to the people of Israel, how long will you put off going into take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? You see here that a church isn't enough. It says the whole congregation came together and they set up the tent of meeting. 1045 in this building should not be what defines us as a church. Would you agree with that? It's a wonderful time. I enjoy coming in. I enjoy shaking hands. I enjoy seeing people that I haven't maybe seen or talked to. Some of you I get to see and talk to. But some of you, sometimes this is my one shot to maybe see you during the week. So I love coming in here and seeing you. But this cannot be the totality of who we are. You know, driving back from my dad's farm in Iowa, we always drive by the exit where you can take to go see the Field of Dreams from the movie Field of Dreams. And I always think I should turn down there, but my kids have never seen it. They don't know anything about it, so I said, maybe that's a movie we should watch in 2016, and then I can take them down there. But you remember from the movie, if you build it, he will come. That movie's so spooky, I don't even know why I would want to watch it again. But I just need some baseball in my life right now. Maybe I need to watch that and get that. I was asking someone, when do pitchers and catchers report? Because I've forgotten. But you know, sometimes churches think that if we build it, it'll fill up. You know, there's been many times that I have talked to churches. Maybe it was a church that was talking about me coming as pastor or just another pastor. And they say, well, we built this huge building. We spent $1 million on it, but it didn't fill up. We don't know why. Well, it might be because you thought just building a bigger space would bring people in. But people can find big spaces anywhere. They can go to the mall and walk around a big space. If they realize that there's something happening in this space, that's when people might be enticed to come in and say, okay, what goes on at your church in 1045 on Sunday morning? And why should I get up to go experience it? So in the same way that just putting up a church isn't enough for us, it wasn't enough for Israel either. They set up this tent of meeting, but yet there were still things that weren't happening. The Bible says in verse 1 at the very end, the land lay subdued before them. Basically trampled down. God had completely prepared this place for them. So Israel completely had a success that they could celebrate, something they could praise God for, and they could look and see how God had used them. But they were standing still. They were missing the potential of what God had given to them. I mean, he gave this to them. Do you have anything that God has given you that you realize the potential of? For me, it's my children. I realize God has given me my children. They all have incredible potential, but I need to be a part of that. I can't just take them to church and believe their potential will be fulfilled any more than I think I can take someone off the street and just put them in the church at 10:45 on Sunday morning and think their potential will be fulfilled. So Israel had this land before them with all this potential, but the Bible says they were standing still. I believe for our church to do awesome things in 2016, that we have to recognize the spiritual potential of our community. I read about a church that recently closed because the furnace went out. They didn't have the money to fix it. It was just the honest truth. They'd kind of been going along. They didn't have any money that they had been setting aside for those kind of expenses. So the furnace went out and they had to close. And as I read this article, and you know, because when I read about a church dying as a pastor, I want to know why. What happened? And one of the quotes just jumped off the page at me. I say page like I read the newspaper. It jumped off the phone at me, okay? I was reading it on an app. But it jumped off at me because one of the members said, well, the reason our church died is because the community is just not spiritually interested. The community doesn't care about God. Listen, of course lost people don't care about God. We can't expect lost people to act any way other than lost. We have to share the gospel with them to be that light in our community. It's so easy to blame someone else, but we need, as the church, to blame ourselves. I want you to take in your Bible or whatever you're using and turn to Luke 10, verse 2 for a moment. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Some of you may already have this memorized. If you do, that's fantastic. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. We're talking about recognizing the potential of where we are. In fact, let's just read verse 1 too. Luke chapter 10 says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus says, yes, people may be spiritually disinterested, but that doesn't mean that there's not potential for them to come to Jesus Christ. That's like me as a farmer growing corn and getting mad that the corn doesn't cut itself down and shuck itself and throw itself in my barn. No, it's not the potential of the corn. It's my laziness as a harvester. I've got to take care of it. I've got to go do it. I could have this great corn out there, and I could just let it die and rot on the stalk. Well, then it's not going to be any good to anybody. So I have to look, and I have to say, the blame lies on me as a Christian if my church dies. Did I do what was necessary to spread the gospel and to make sure that people saw the light of Jesus Christ? Because a church building and these ministries like Awana and youth and all these things, they're wonderful, but they're all just tools. We have to go beyond the tools. Nate Adams is our executive director here for Illinois Baptist, and he wrote an article, and he said this in his most recent article: you can't see the routine weekly schedule of your church as an adequate witness to your community. Now, if you look, we're off vacation. You may have noticed in the bulletin the schedule is jam-packed. And there's nothing wrong with the ministries we have going on. But we can't believe that someone's going to get a hold of our bulletin and on Tuesday go, oh my goodness, I must be a part of whatever that thing is. They don't know what half our acronyms mean anyway. It's kind of like being in the Army. Nothing's ever just said. Everything's an acronym for something else. So we can't believe, oh, I'm going to hand out this bulletin, and boy, people are going to come to Jesus. Probably not. We need to be a greater witness. We need to realize the church isn't enough. There is so much potential in this community. You know what? I used to be a kid, lost, not going to church in the community. I'm so glad that Bud Massey thought there might be a little bit of spiritual potential in me and shared Jesus with me. I'm so thankful that he realized it's not, oh, well, that kid's just down at his house. He probably doesn't care about God. No, I cared a lot about God. He probably doesn't think about heaven. No, I thought about heaven all the time. I was scared to death I was going to die and go to hell. It was in my mind all the time. And I didn't even go to church. We have to recognize there are people asking those questions even if they're not voicing them. We got to be ready there for them. Look again at verses 2 through 3. So we see here that the church isn't enough, that there's so much left for us. So it says there remained among the people of Israel 7 tribes. There were 12 tribes total, by the way. 7 tribes, over half of them, haven't taken what God has given to them yet. It was an open invitation. It says it's been apportioned. In fact, if you read earlier in Joshua, God actually laid out the boundaries where everyone's supposed to live. But they're not taking it. They haven't moved there. They haven't taken it. We're all invited, for instance, to join the family of God. We all have a spiritual inheritance waiting for us as we allow God to adopt us into his family. We're not all children of God unless we've come to the Father through the Son. We all have the image of God. We all are loved by God, but we must give ourselves to him in order to receive that inheritance. So we're all invited to join the family, but we are called to grow the family. Invited to join, but called to grow. And to share with others the same way someone shared with you. I have known few people who have led themselves to Christ. One person I know who was in a hotel room, picked up a Gideon Bible, read a gospel, and read how to be saved in the back of it. I've known one person in my whole Christian life who basically led himself to Christ. You know how everyone else came to Christ? Someone told him. Mom told him. Grandpa told him. Bud Massey drove down my driveway and took me to church and told me. Whatever. Someone has to tell these people. So we look and we say, what moves is God calling you to on a personal level when it calls to reaching this community that has so much potential? Because, listen, I absolutely believe this. As God moves you, God moves our church. I'm so thankful that when I first started thinking and praying about scripture memory, knowing what it meant to me, and I say something to Lori, Lori's like, oh, I'm all about that. Great! Because if she hadn't been, I can tell you what would have happened. I probably would have let it really well for about 6 weeks, and I would have fizzled out because I was taking on too much. I have to realize that there is so much potential, so much vision. I had an awesome opportunity one summer to sit under, for about 2 or 3 weeks, the associate pastor for Adrian Rogers at Bellevue at his church in Tennessee. And when I was in there, he was talking about vision statements. He was talking about having a vision for your church. He said, "Don't you dare go into your church and give them a vision if you don't have one for yourself. You have to have a personal vision." So I start thinking about, okay, what is it, God, that you're calling me to? I don't believe that God has just called me to be a pastor, for instance. When I was first being called to ministry, I said, well, I guess I'll be a youth minister, and then eventually I'll work my way up and be old enough to be a pastor, you know, and that's now I'll be able to do it or whatever. I've realized now it's just about whatever God has called me to do. And so I thought on that when Bob asked us, you know, what is your vision? I realized, for me, when I became a Christian and I started reading the Bible, it just changed me. I mean, Jesus had already changed me, but the more I read God's word and allowed it in, that's when my life really started happening. And I realized, no, my personal vision is I want to see people be more biblically literate. I want to help people understand how to read the Bible and how the Bible can really be a part of them. Once I knew that, then yes, I can talk. So when I come here and I share with you that I believe the vision for our church is reaching upward, reaching outward, it's really an extension of what I believe God has called me to do as just an individual Christian. And you see, Israel had lost this personal vision. God had told them where to go. They got there and they're like, oh, well, I guess that was it. You see, there is no ending to God's story. You know how I know? Because he gives us eternal life. And eternity has no ending. Even when your life here on earth is through, you are not through. That is not your ending. You continue on. The Bible's very clear about that. So Israel had lost their vision. And so a church that has no vision usually comes because the people have lost vision, or we haven't really taken grasp of what God's calling us to do. And I remember Dr. Sorrell saying to us, a church that does not have vision operates either forced from crisis to crisis. You ever been in a church like that? We don't have plans, we just deal with crisis. Or they're driven by church fads. Oh, this church has purple lights, we're going to get purple lights. Or shackled by tradition. Not able to make a move because this is how we've always done it. And some in Israel had lost their vision. They'd lost what God had called them to do. And so as I talk to you about reaching upward and reaching outward, I want you to know, I want to see us do it more. 2015 was a great year, but I believe God wants to do more in us and is willing to do more in us if we're willing to allow it. And so like Israel, too many people are waiting for an invitation that's already been extended. You see, every single person has already had salvation extended as an invitation to them. You can come to Jesus Christ anytime you want. A person told me one time, well, I didn't raise my hand in service because I was afraid that people might see me. I was afraid that people might think something of me. And so I told that person, listen, if you're really that nervous about raising your hand or coming forward, listen, if you know you need Jesus, and you recognize you're a sinner, you can pray without me. You can pray without the church. The pastor of my last church prayed that prayer of salvation in his bedroom. He'd just been wrestling with it, and he realized he needed to give his life to Jesus. He didn't say, well, on Sunday, I'll just go on down, and I'll let the church save me. Because that's not what it's about. It's a personal relationship, and then we have this joining together. So too many people are waiting for some invitation to be saved that's already been extended, or some people are waiting on an invitation at church to do something. Well, I didn't do anything because nobody asked me. You know why no one asked you? Because everyone was too busy doing stuff. Sometimes that just happens. So you know, if you say, well, I'd like to do more, but no one's ever asked me, listen, on behalf of our church, I apologize. Now, come ask me, and I'll tell you. I got some spots I can plug you in like 10 minutes ago, okay? We got places for you. That's what we talked with these people coming into new members. I told them, listen, I'm so glad you feel like First Baptist might be a place for you, but you don't get to hide here. We don't need people just to attend. We want people to serve and be a part of what we're doing here, and we hope that you're willing to do that. So Joshua asks Israel in verse 3, what are you waiting for? God's already put it here in front of you. He says it's yours. You just got to take it. So I ask you, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for to fix your marriage? What are you waiting for to be a better witness for Christ? What are you waiting for to be more involved at church? Stop waiting. Remember when 2015, remember when you rang that in? Boy, it seemed like it just happened. And it's gone. Now I'm 37. I'm feeling kind of old. I'm realizing, I don't know what you're shaking your head at, Mark. I'm realizing that the older I get, the quicker the calendar just seems to turn. All right, now we're getting some amens. Okay, now we're on it. I'm tired of wasting my years. I'm so tired of getting through a year and saying, man, I could have done that better. I could have done that better. I'm just ready to start doing what Jesus has called me to do. And to just do with all my heart that I wouldn't just sing you're all I want, but man, I'd live it. I'd live that you're all I want. And it'll come out when I talk to somebody at the coffee shop or at the grocery store or my neighbor. I mean, I just want to do that more. Don't you ever get tired of just that same old Christianity that just feels like it felt last year? Don't you want to do something more? Listen, you can. You can, because the Holy Spirit of God, the presence of God, is in you as a Christian. Don't say you can't do it. I get sick to my stomach every time before I come up here to preach. Every time. But I know I can do it because the Holy Spirit's in me. It's not because I won some FFA speaking contests, and yes, I did, but that's not why I could get up here. It's because I did really good speaking for Future Farmers of America, because some of you are going, what's FFA? Now you know, okay? Now you know the whole gamut. So I look and I say, I'm tired of procrastinating. You know, in college, it was kind of funny. You know, when are you going to start that 50-page paper that's due tomorrow? A little bit later. You know, it was funny back then. Procrastination with spiritual things ain't funny. Because souls are inside of bodies that have expiration dates. I had a lady ask me the question, what happens when you die? That was the question. There was a whole question. What happens when you die? I said, well, the Bible says it's appointed for every single person to die once and then the judgment. And so I explained to her how you can be saved. Because our bodies, they have an expiration date on them, but our souls do not. And there are souls out there, I'm telling you, there are some lost people out there that if they came to Jesus Christ, would be spark plugs in our church. Spark plugs. I remember one guy in my church back in Missouri, he had been saved in prison ministry. He used to wear a bandage right here across his elbow when he'd come into church. I remember after a month, I thought, that's got to be the worst wound anyone has ever had in their life. Well, then one day he showed me there was a big spider web tattoo that went all the way around his arm. I said, why do you wear that bandage? Well, because I want to cover up my tattoo. I don't want people to know I have that. I don't want to be offensive. And even then, I wasn't a great witness for Christ then. But I remember saying to him, do you realize how many conversations you could start with that sucker? Especially when they find out you know Jesus, you can say, yeah, that used to be who I was. Spiderweb tattoos, that's who I was. But he got saved while he was in prison. I tell you what, and I talked to him. You know what was on his heart? Take a guess. Prison ministry. Something I don't know very much about. I'm telling you, there are some people out there that have such potential. If they were to come to Jesus, it'd be like throwing a firecracker in the middle of our service. Now, I'm not advocating that anyone does that, but it would be amazing to see what happens. So I look and I see here, when you look in the Bible, it's saying that God was telling them to take possession of land the Lord has given you. So you see this combination. You take it because God has given it. That's faith. It's this constant addition. God can do it all by himself, but he lets you work with him That's the awesome part of faith in God. So listen, God has clearly planted us in McChesney Park. 60 years we've been here, long before I came along. But there were people that were a part of this church being put on this spot. And for those of you who've been around a long time, you've seen the community change. You've seen some transitions. Do not buy the lie that this community doesn't care about spiritual things or they're spiritually disinterested. You'd be surprised at the people out there that are hurting, they're trying to figure out what's going on with their kids or how to survive paycheck to paycheck. If they found out what you and I found out of what Jesus Christ does in our lives when we're living paycheck to paycheck or we have no idea how to train our kids, that'd be more enticing to them than you realize. God can do something amazing, and God is extending our reach, bringing families into our church that don't just live in McChesney Park. Listen, we're not the only church. I'm not saying that. But I do believe God has given us a unique call to fulfill. So why don't we do it? You realize if every church in McChesney Park and Loves Park and Roscoe and Rockford fulfilled their unique call, that Rockford would look a lot different? But we look at it and we say, well, it's unfixable. Man, what if every church was living out the call God had for them? And it's not just that every church does it, but those members of the church do it. And we start getting excited about what God is doing. So we realize this year, reaching upward, reaching outward, it's not just something to put on our bulletins or our website, I promise you. I prayed about that. God, how do you want us to describe who we are as a church? Man, we're reaching upward. We want to know God better so we can reach outward and bring people closer to a God that we are becoming closer with. God doesn't just want us to be greater disciples. He wants us to be greater disciple makers. So I'm asking you, what are you waiting for? What has God been saying to you in 2015 that you should have done that, you know what? Let's roll it over. You want to be a better witness? You didn't do it last year? Guess what? The Bible says God's mercies are new every day. The sun goes down, the sun comes up. Why does it do that? To remind you it's a new day. What's God calling you to do? Just commit to do it. I'm telling you, you'd be surprised. Well, this little thing, it won't make a difference in our church. You'd be surprised at what'll make a difference in a church. God's calling you to do something. Take that challenge. Ask yourself this question. Why have I been unwilling to move on the thing I know God's been calling me to do? What is holding me back? And finally, how are you going to support us as a church family in 2016? When I first became a pastor here, I felt so much pressure. Oh, I got to come in here and I got to do this and I got to do that. Maybe I can ride a unicycle and get people to come to Christ and come listen to the sermons and all this stuff. It felt so much pressure. And you know what I finally realized? I can take that pressure off because this is God's house and this is God's church and we're God's people. And if we want to do something, it's not going to become just because we said it's going to happen. We're going to recognize God wants to do it in us. So when I ask you these questions, these aren't just random end of the sermon questions that I punt out there and let's see what we want to do. No, I mean, what's God calling you to do? Because listen, if he's calling you to it, he's calling you to do it. And he will completely empower you in that way. And I share this with you as I close. If you don't understand what it means to have the power of God working in your life, if you don't understand that your soul has no expiration date and that every soul will end up either in heaven or in hell, the Bible makes it very clear that you can have heaven absolutely guaranteed, just like I told that young lady this week. I said, you can absolutely know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that God has accepted you if you will accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why he died. And you know what? If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you can do it today right where you are. I'd like to ask you to go.